Amen. Hallelujah. You want Christ to be formed in you? Amen. Those were good words, right? Powerful chorus. I want him to be formed in me. Amen, amen, amen. Praise God. It's a privilege to be here tonight. And I appreciate the invitation. The 1st of May, my wife and I have been living here in Madison, coming to church here for 8 years. And we love you folks very, very much. We appreciate your support and your kindness to us. And I am a bit concerned, something that not many would really care a lot about, but about 100 years ago in 1915, a serious persecution came to the Christians of Armenia. And in the end, there's a dispute about how much genocide happened there. But between 600,000 and 2 million Armenians were slaughtered. And they were Armenian Christians, yes. But one of them, at least one of them, there were many who escaped. One of them escaped to Russia. His name was Andrew Urshan. He was a leading Pentecostal evangelist at that time, leaving a feeling that there are Pentecostals or were Pentecostals in Armenia. They have now grown back to close to 500,000, but what few that were left. But that's been 100 years, so a lot happens. But I see where we're going to have a Greek missionary in just a few days. And I feel a burden that we should pray for the Armenians worldwide today. Brother Urshan came over here and provided a strong, stable message after he had evangelized through Russia. In Russia, he had quite a good response. Many people received the Holy Ghost, to the point that they now call Pentecostals in Russia Urshanites because of him. And I know I should say something about you, be seated, but I'm going to ask you to pray before you're seated. So if you can just stay with me just a moment. And I would like for us to pray for our missionary in Greece, and the Greeks and the Turks are next door neighbors, and they are enemies of each other, and they're enemies, all enemies of the Armenians. Let's pray for that area over there, that God would do something in that area of the country. Could you join with me in prayer? God, we lift up brothers and sisters who are scattered, oh God, across the Middle East and in those special specified countries. Would you touch them, and would you somehow sweep in there and heal the hurts and reach the people with the plan of salvation and show them in the Bible the truth of your precious word. Talk to them and minister to them. Heal the hurts. Encourage the Christians. Lift them and bless them and strengthen them, we pray. By the authority of your holy word, in the name of Jesus, we pray. Everybody said, amen. Thank you for your patience. You may be seated. Just to give you just a little comment or two to tell you where I'm coming from. I had something on my mind, and usually that's the direction God is leading. So I went to work on that when Brother Roy asked me if I would preach tonight, and was putting it all together, and things were going pretty good until Monday night. In the middle of the night, I awakened God talking to me about my responsibilities here this evening. So I had to shift gears and, in a sense, start all over again. So I really feel like God has something for someone here tonight. And I want us to open our hearts and let the Lord talk to us. First of all, I'd like for us to turn in our Bibles to Psalm 48. Psalm 48. And I want you to pay close attention in Psalm 48 to references to Jerusalem and Mount Zion and the city of our God, the mountains. And I want to talk to you about Zion, the perfection of beauty. We serve a beautiful God. We serve a perfect God. We serve a powerful God. Amen. Let's read it. Maybe let me read a couple of verses and then alternate with you so you can read it. Oh, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Nope, that's the wrong psalm. Pardon me. Psalm 48. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. Read verse 3 for me. God is known in her palaces for a refuge. For lo, the kings were assembled. They passed by together. Read it with me. They saw it, and so they marveled. They were troubled and hasted away. Fear took hold upon them there, and pain as of a woman in travail. Read with me. Thou breakest the ships of Tarshish with an east wind. Verse 8, let's read it together. As we have heard, so have we seen. Where? In the city of the Lord of hosts, in the city of our God, God will establish it. How long? Forever. Selah. Amen. Amen. Praise God. The expository dictionary of Bible words tells us that there are two significant mountains in Scripture that are associated with God's acts of revelation. Mount Sinai, you've all heard of Mount Sinai, was central, but it was central in the past history of Israel because it was there on that mountain that God met Moses, and on that mountain is where through Moses gave his people the Old Testament law and all the principles that went with it. But the other mountain is Mount Zion. And Mount Zion is central because of its role in the future history of Israel. It was the site of the past Jerusalem temples where God's people were called to worship. But it was also the mountain, it is also, I should say, the mountain of God to which Jesus Christ will return when he comes a second time, and from which his rule will extend all around the world, throughout the world. Isaiah 2 and 3 tells us, for out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And Micah chapter 4 and verse 2, and I didn't give you that phrase, but it's a repetition of that phrase. So we know it is certain. It's almost verbatim. So Mount Zion is so much more than just another pile of rocks. It's technically one of the three hills on which the old city of Jerusalem stood. Mount Zion came to be applied to the temple and later to the whole of Jerusalem and all of its people, as a city whose destiny depends on God. It was a formidable fortress of rock. David looked at that city that was built on Mount Zion before he ever conquered it, and he desired it for his capital city. Somehow David could see through the eyes of God. He recognized that Jerusalem was in an ideal location, and he chose that site for his capital. not even knowing how important it would be in the future. You see, before David, the city was already inhabited, and it had been regarded by the enemies as being unconquerable. At the time of David, Jerusalem was actually inhabited by the Jebusites, and it was called Jebus. David declared in a public declaration, "Whosoever smiteth the Jebusites," or conquers them, "whosoever conquers them first shall be chief and captain." Or, in modern English, "whoever defeats the inhabitants of this city will be my commander-in-chief," the words of David. Now, this was a chance at that time for quick advancement for any of David's soldiers who could gain a following and be able to conquer that city. So Joab quickly gathered a group of mighty men together and took them up there and captured the city. It's a whole different story, and I won't bore you with the details. But David then rewarded him by immediately making him commander-in-chief of his armies. Now, after the conquest of Jebus, David quickly moved into the city, cleaned it out, made it his home. And that part of the city destroyed in the battle was quickly rebuilt. And David further expanded the city and started calling it the City of David. In fact, David is given credit for naming the mountain there Mount Zion. The term meant a conspicuous place, but it also had a literal meaning of a permanent capital. Now, that was not all the names that great city acquired over the years. I want you to listen to this, because I'm going to get spiritual here in just a little bit. And this is the foundation that will help you get a broader, more clear picture of the city coming down from above, the New Jerusalem. Amen. Because as we read the Bible, read through the Old Testament, we read that this city of Jerusalem was called the Holy City and the City of God and the City of the Great King and the City of Righteousness. It was called the Faithful City and the City of the Lord and the City of Peace. And it was said, "The Lord is there," and it was the City of Truth. Now, that's a lot to live up to, but and they certainly didn't always live up to it. But that was a specific, special place for God. God chose that. And David followed God's leadership and chose that city for the seat of his government and for the location of the king's palace. And eventually, Solomon would build the beautiful first temple of God on Mount Zion. This was to take place in another time, someday in the coming millennium. Now, there are many descriptions of Mount Zion scattered through the Bible, but probably one of the most moving is our text, Psalm 48. I want to read the first couple of verses again for you. "Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised." Where? In the city of our God. Where else? In the mountain of his holiness. It's beautiful for situation. The joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. God is known in her palaces for a refuge. Aren't you glad tonight you have a refuge in God? Does it mean anything to you that you have somebody to call upon and to turn to be your refuge? Hallelujah. Let's lift our hands and offer some praise to him right here. God, we thank you for being so good to us. Thank you for your church, your people, your pastors, your leaders. God, we want to do your will and walk with you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. Now, these scriptures tell us that Mount Zion was established in a central position as a repository of truth. And God gave that mountain divine attention by emphasizing it in his revelations to the prophets and the apostles in the New Testament. And that attention has made Mount Zion a symbolic representation. Catch this. That attention from God has made Mount Zion a symbolic representation of his last day church. And if you want to understand that a little better, Turn to Hebrews chapter 12 and start reading at verse 18 and notice what it's telling us. For you are not come unto the mount that might be touched and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, which voice they heard, entreated that the word should not be spoken to them anymore. But ye are come unto Mount Zion. Church, when you come to God, you are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, unto the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Those words are powerful. You can read through them without paying close attention, and they may not mean a whole lot to you, but it's talking about this church. Say that with me. This church. Say it again. This church. I am very serious about this tonight because I really believe we need a fresh appreciation for God, for what God has put us in when He put us in His church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Churches don't just spring up overnight. It takes a lot of effort. It takes dedication and commitment, patience, and a lot of time. Amen. And still, after all that He calls us to do, He gets the credit because Jesus said, I'm building a church. Thank God. Thank God. The church is a very unique institution. It's unlike any other institution on the face of the earth. When you come into God's church, you are coming into spiritual Mount Zion, the church of God, the new Jerusalem. Matthew 16 and 18, and I've quoted this already. Jesus promises to build His church. He says, I will build my church. And promises to protect that church, telling us that the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus started His church with the first outpouring of the Holy Ghost on that first day of Pentecost. And we are coming quickly upon another Pentecost Sunday in just a couple of 3 weeks, May 15th. And we need to prepare ourselves for what God wants to do here. God is wanting to give us a fresh outpouring of the Holy Ghost. If you read closely in the New Testament, in the book of Acts, you'll find that even the apostles tried to make it to some church on Pentecost Sunday so they could be there for a fresh outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Hey, folks, that's our holiday. We're Pentecostal. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. The church was born in Acts chapter 2 in the first 4 verses. And when the day of Pentecost, if you know it and you do, say it with me while I read it. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all, everybody said all. All filled with the Holy Ghost, and all began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them utterance. I know I added a couple of words there, but I am concerned about this. I'm concerned about that little three-letter word, all, A-L-L. I just can't help but believe if God did it the first time, He can do it again. I believe if we can find that position in God, where we're in one accord and reaching up together, that God will pour out an unending supply of the Spirit of God and touch all the congregation with His Spirit. Amen. Let's lift our hands and ask Him to do it again. Do it again, Lord. Do it again. Let it happen again. We're believing You for it. We're preparing for it. We're planning on it. We're depending on You for it in Jesus' name. in Jesus' name. And you're well aware that this same chapter in Acts chapter 2, we read, there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Is that unbelievable? Just about. But it happened. And then the 47th verse of Acts chapter 2 tells us the Lord added, he continued to add to the church daily such as should be saved. And later in the 4th chapter, in the 4th verse, tells us of 5,000 men, not to mention women and children, being added to the church. Unbelievable. No, God can do anything. Anything. Amen. Amen. And the church of Jesus Christ, according to the book of Acts, kept growing, becoming more and more powerful and more influential in their world. And when the disciples were asked about what they should do, men and brethren, what shall we do? At that first outpouring, Peter gave to them the plan of salvation. In Acts 2:38, say it with me. Then Peter said unto them, do what? I don't hear you. Repent. And then what? How many of you? How? Why? Come on, you're doing good. And what'll happen? You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. 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 Yeah, that little word all really bugs me. Because I believe it. When it says all, I want you to do this for me to kind of get it in your mind. When you get home, don't do it now. But when you get home, open your Bible and take your pen or pencil and go through that second chapter of Acts and underline the all. It's everywhere in there. All the way through it. All, all, all. I believe in an all revival. Amen. Is anybody in here don't need the Holy Ghost? We all do, don't we? We all do. Come on, admit it. Say it with me. We all need the Holy Ghost. We all need it. Amen. Amen. I'm believing God to pour His Spirit out. Now, let me go on. This church. You say that again? That wasn't everybody. Would you all say that again? This church. It's a powerful place with some awesome responsibilities. Amen. We are told in the Bible this church is the pillar and ground of truth. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank God for truth. Praise. There's such a crazy mixed up religious world that we're a part of. I just thank God for truth, Brother Grant. I just thank God for truth. Hallelujah. We need to appreciate the fact that we don't fool around with philosophies and ideas. We just speak truth around here. Not always received clearly because some people are still confused about it. But I can tell you, I received the Holy Ghost 58 years ago. And it's true. And it works. And it's right. The reason I know that's when I received the Holy Ghost is I'll never forget it. And 1958, and add to that 58 years, you come out 2016. Well, that's the way I remember. Actually, it was just the last few days of 1957, but it was almost 1958. So that's how long it's been. I want to tell you, I wasn't born yesterday. And what works for me will work for you. What works for Elder Grant and Elder Thomas will work for you. You know what? You can go to a lot of churches and you'll see a bunch of young guys sitting around on the platform. No elders. That's a tragedy. That's a lot of people that ignore our forefathers. Hallelujah. I remember reading in a copy of a letter a while back from a couple of Pentecostal elders from 1927, where they were talking about the spiritual condition of the Pentecostal movement. And it told you, or it should tell us, that our elders are valuable among us. We can tell you what will happen when you go the wrong direction. We can tell you what will happen when you obey and follow God. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Where was I here? Hallelujah. Now, we go back talking about this church. This church is made up of those, I'm quoting from the New Testament, those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be saints. It's also said, all who are justified in the name of Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. And I'm still quoting, and we know the church is the center of attention of all the spirit world, both angelic and demonic. This is what the church is. God's church is the arena where God works. The church is the stage on which he acts. If he's working in your life, somewhere down the line, you are affected at church because this is where he interacts with us. Amen. I'm not saying at all that he can't do it at your home or on your job or wherever. I know all about that. But I want us to understand how valuable this church is. The city of our God. It is the place. It is Mount Zion. It's where God interacts with us. We need this. Amen. God's church is the battleground on which God fights. It is the earthly seat of all divine government. The church is the apex of all human experience where God and man come together. And we come together at this time, a group of people from various backgrounds and with different experiences. We've even come to Calvary, this church, or one of our daughter church works. We have come from various states, from different foreign countries. We have other nationalities joining with us. And I don't want any of you to get any false ideas or impressions about our beliefs. We believe this Bible. We believe it enough to obey what it tells us to do. And when we put our faith in God enough to where we obey this word, it will work for you just like it will anyone else. Let's give him praise for his word, his Bible. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen to me. What are we? Who are we? I want to tell you tonight. We are Bible-believing, God-loving, sin-hating, Spirit-anointed Pentecostals. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. We're not some branch of some group who claim allegiance to a long-lost movement. We still contend for the faith once delivered to the saints. We are the real thing. Amen. We're not some fork or stem or branch or limb existing in the denominational church world. We're the main trunk. If you want to know what the apostles believed and preached, you can hear it right here. It may sound clear. It may sound firm. It may be just a little in your face. But this is what the Bible says. And God says you need to get it straight. And we teach it straight. Amen. Praise God. And let me tell you further, we are not some little side root of a huge root structure of the great tree of Christianity. We Pentecostals are the tap root. This is where it started. Hallelujah. We do not trace our lineage back to Brigham Young or John Smith or Ellen G. White. Nor do we point to Charles Taz Russell, nor John and Charles Wesley, not even to Martin Luther or Zwingli or the Moravians. We do not even claim to be Protestant. We're Pentecostal. Amen. 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 In fact, one thing I have long appreciated about this United Pentecostal Church is the absence of strong personalities that dominate leadership. Surely there are those whose names come in a discussion of good preachers. There are the Anthony Mangans and the Jeff Arnolds, the Lee Stone Kings and the Paul Moonies and many others. But these men would be the first to object to gathering a following around their personality. One of the things we learn in the beginning of our ministerial training is the fickleness of people and the stability and strength of the Word of God. Amen. Amen, amen. And the stability and strength of his church. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. If we will just keep preaching and teaching the word and continue to follow Jesus, he will build his church. And no personality will get credit for it. And no flesh will get glory for it or anything else out of it. Amen. Thank God. Thank God. We trace our lineage through our elders to the apostles and then to Jesus Christ. Add to that Peter and James and John and Paul. In fact, we are directly connected with all the apostles of Jesus Christ. And from that standpoint, there can be no doubt we are apostolic. Okay, Brother Russell, are we apostolic or Pentecostal? We are both. We are both. We tie our leadership to the apostles and we get our experience in the Holy Ghost from the Pentecostals. Amen. So you got the past and you got the present, and in that you got a Mount Zion coming at you, a new Jerusalem that's coming at us. We have a destination in the Bible. And we're going there. Amen, amen. Let me tell you a couple of three other things that we are not. We are not Calvinistic in our doctrine. We are not congregational in our government. We are not Trinitarian in our theology. We are not Presbyterian in our outlook. We're Pentecostal. Amen. Now understand what I'm saying. I'm not putting anybody down. I'm not denigrating anything. I'm not saying all those people are bad and evil and all of that. Many, many good people from different varied and sundry churches. What I am saying is we're not them. We're this. And this church is Pentecostal. Come on, does anybody like that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's give him praise. Praise God. Amen, 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 amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. I can't even keep up with my place in my notes, Brother Grant. What am I going to do? Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Yes, we're Pentecostal. We are spirit-filled. We are Jesus' name baptized. We are one God, and we're apostolic. Yes, we speak in tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance. Yes, we are holiness. We do our best to live separated and godly lives because we're Pentecostal. Amen. There is no greater place to be than right where we are tonight. Amen. 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 Now, I'm not boasting, I'm just giving you some facts here. It's been my privilege to travel over the years, and I have seen many of the United States of America, all the way from the beautiful flower gardens and all that goes with it down in the southeast to the national parks of the northwest. I've seen both the Atlantic Ocean and the Pacific Ocean, even the Gulf of Mexico. I've seen the Great Lakes of the Midwest, and then I've been to the Flathead Lake area of Montana. A few years ago, I flew in a Horizon Airlines puddle jumper. Anybody ever heard of an airline called Horizon? They are a feeder line of Alaska Airlines. That's the reason you haven't heard of them. But I needed to go to Seattle, Washington, so got a ticket, and they put me on a little puddle jumper across the Rockies from Billings, Montana. No, I wasn't afraid. I wasn't afraid. Went to Seattle, Washington. I want to tell you what it was. It was one of the most scenic airplane rides I had ever taken. It was breathtaking. It was indescribably beautiful. It was an unforgettable trip, soaring over those Rockies and down in those valleys and seeing those lakes and highways and all that went with it. It was great. And I have been to many of the important cities of our country over the years, either driving through or at General Conference or whatever. But let me tell you something. There is something that's more beautiful than any of these awesome sights, any of them. It is to walk into a Sunday evening service in an alive and powerful, on-fire Pentecostal church where the Spirit is moving where the Spirit is moving on yielded people who are singing and praying and praising and worshiping God. And their singers and the prayers and the musical instrumentalists all are trying to find the Spirit of God, and the Spirit's moving on them. And oh, what a great time. There's nothing more beautiful than that, where joyful people are celebrating the presence of God. Amen, amen. Surely we all enjoy God's Mount Zion, calling it the perfection of beauty, the city of the great King. Let me tell you, there's no greater place anywhere than being in the church of Jesus Christ. If you think you might be a little bored today, you ought to visit some other places. I'll tell you what, this isn't boring. There's a God here that's sitting on your shoulder, whispering in your ear, telling you you need to respond, wanting you to rejoice and worship and praise Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank God. This place is our Bethel. It is our house of God. It is our gateway to heaven. Do you believe that? This is our gateway to heaven. Hallelujah, hallelujah. This is our launching pad from earth to glory. I'm on my way. Where heaven comes down and glory fills my soul. Praise God. It's where the temporal and the eternal collide. It's where the material gives way to the immaterial. It's where the tangible gives way to the intangible. And the physical gives way to the spiritual. This is where the earthly and heavenly come together. The human and divine unite as one. Hey, are you hearing me out there? Why don't we let God pour out His Spirit upon this place? Why don't we enjoy being in His presence? Amen. Let's lift our hands and worship Him together again. Give Him praise. Thank Him. Worship Him. Magnify Him. Lift Him up. Amen. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Amen, amen. I'm going to get a little serious here, but I want you to think about what I'm saying because it needs to be considered. You see, we're looking at definite changes in the world we live in. It's got to change, and the change is coming closer and closer. And we're all concerned about things that are happening in the political realm and in the world we live in, that we don't have anything seemingly to turn things around or work things out. But let me pose a few things to you and listen closely. You see, the last defense in America against abortion is not on the picket line downtown. The last defense against abortion is right here in this church. This church, God's church. The last defense against perversion and evil is not in the state legislature here in Madison, nor is it in the halls of Congress in Washington, D.C. The last defense against all the civil rights people are demanding these days is not in the counseling rooms of psychiatrists, but it's in this church, God's church. The last defense against broken marriages is not in the lawyer's office, nor in the divorce court. The last defense against destroyed home is not there either. The last defense against all of that is only found at an old-fashioned altar of repentance and dedication and commitment in this church, God's church. Amen. Amen. Do I hear an amen to any of that? Amen. Amen. The last defense against immorality in our world is not in a rehab center. It's in the Church of Jesus Christ. It's found in Mount Zion, the place called the perfection of beauty. The last defense against crime and violence and all the horrible sins that men are involved in is not in our jails nor in our prisons. The last defense against these things is found on Sunday night at CIP in this church which points the way to something that can really change lives and point people in the right direction. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. It means praying at an altar of repentance, being washed in the blood of Jesus Christ in waters of baptism, it's being filled, not just initially, but over and over again with the power of the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost. That's the solution that will take you out of the sinful paths of this old world. That and that alone will put you on the road to heaven. It's in Mount Zion, the place where God hath shined. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, the Bible tells us God has shined. And he's still shining tonight. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm real serious tonight. I know you understand that. I hope you feel what I'm feeling. Because I'm going to add one more point to this before I quit. Not only is this church the last defense against all Satan's traps and errors for modern humanity, let me emphasize this. In my mind, as I look around at all that's going on around us, this church, will you say it with me again? This church is the last refuge standing for humanity. Let me just, some of this is coming to me as I speak, but I want you to understand, you can come to this church from anywhere. You can come from the depths of sin. You can come from the ravages of dope. You can come from the steely grips of alcohol. And God will save you. And God will deliver you. Amen. God will change your life. But I want to tell you something. I'm coming to you from my heart tonight. I have looked around in my years of ministry, and I don't see anything else anywhere if you decide to leave this church. Leave this old man. There's nothing out there. There is nothing for you. You might find yourself caught up in this rock Christian music, and I'm not downplaying anything like that. I'm just saying that won't get it. That won't deliver you. Whatever high you get out of that will only be temporary. It's the old-fashioned, God-anointed music and singing that will deeply dig up your soul and your mind and your heart and point you in the right direction. Do you hear what I'm saying? If you decide no to what you're hearing in this church, there's nothing else out there. Nothing. Believe me. Oh, you saying this is the only place you can be saved is here? No, I didn't say that. I just said if you reject this, you're rejecting God. And I just need to say you're close to being hopeless if you reject this, because I don't know of anything out there that will change you. That's how serious this is. I'm not playing around this afternoon. This evening, I am trying to get across to you. This is the last resort for empty souls. Let me preach a little while tonight to some of you listening to me. You may be a nominal Christian, and that means a Christian in name only. But I want to tell you, when you get tired of dead, dull, boring services that many times make you want to take a nap more than make any action toward God, when you're tired of service, church services that are empty of any demonstration of the power of God, I can preach to you, there's still the church. There's always this church. I assure you, you will not be bored in this church. Our services are not dead. Our services are not dull and boring. Also have a message for the enslaved alcoholic. When you get tired of being battered and bruised and lonely and alone, tired of people telling you the horrible things you did when you were drunk, my message to the enslaved alcoholic is this. I know where there is a church that preaches deliverance. Amen. And backs it up by being inhabited by people who were once in your condition but are now delivered. Hallelujah. This church is a church that is still preaching the power of God over all your bad habits. All of them. All of them. And I can preach tonight to the drug addict, tired of shooting up and crashing down, sick almost to death of flashbacks and scared to death of dirty needles. My message to you would be, there's still a church that preaches deliverance, and there's still power of God in God to make you completely church, completely whole. It's in God's church. Amen. Amen. I can even tell the AIDS victim who's experienced every sinful excess known to man, when he comes down to his final days and watches his life ebb away from him little by little, when his agony and his pain subside just long enough for him to think straight, I've seen it happen right here in this church. Amen. Amen. A few years ago, we watched Jesus Carbonell walk into Voces Unidas, and we saw God work on him. And the greatest miracle I've ever seen in my life, Brother Grant, was when Jesus completely turned around and changed his life. His family had come to be with him when he was dying. That's how close he was. But God turned him around. He came down and we began to pray, and God did the work. And he is one major miracle. Where? In this church. Yeah, it was Voces Unidas, but we're all one. We're all together. I don't know if you heard the report, maybe you did already, but I heard Brother Seidel talking last night in service about the fact that their children's revival is on a different date from yours and here at Calvary, and African International joined with Voces last Sunday and prayed 5 of those children through to the Holy Ghost. At least 5. Hallelujah. Where'd that happen? This church. This church. And I thank God for all of our outreaches. God is going to bless those outreaches. He already is, but he's going to do more. Amen. Do you believe that? Amen. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. You see, you can come to God's church from anywhere. You can be very religious, or you can even be a cult member. You might be a Muslim, or even a Buddhist, a Satanist, a witch, or a wizard. In fact, you can be a sinner of any kind. It doesn't really matter wherever you are. You can come to this church. You can come to God's church and find what you need to keep on going. Amen. Let me just emphasize this one more time, and I'm done. There is absolutely nowhere to go from this church. Think that over. Actually, take that home with you and sleep on it, because it's important for you to know that. If the church doesn't do it, if this church doesn't do it, there's nothing else. If God's church doesn't change you, there's nothing else. If God's church doesn't deliver you, there's nothing else. If God's church doesn't heal you, there's nothing else. The scary thing is, musicians can come. You are right here today in this church. God's church. You're sitting in this congregation right here in this building, enjoying God's beauty. You're listening to me declare to you all the beautiful things that God's church brings to you. Would you stand with me? I'm closing. And if this preaching doesn't convince you to repent, there's nothing else. If the power of the service, beautiful music and singing, praying, worship and preaching, if it doesn't bring you to a place of prayer, are you listening? There's nothing else. Really, there's not. If the move of the Spirit that we have enjoyed in this service this evening doesn't convince you of the awesome power of a living God, there is nothing else. Psalm 50, this is a different one. 2 psalms later than the one we started with. This is what it said, the first couple of verses. The mighty God, even the Lord, has spoken and called the earth called who? The earth. That's us. He has called the earth. How far? From the rising of the sun to the going down thereof. That's all around the world. And he says, out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God hath shined. God is calling you this evening. God's shining down in this place tonight. What is it that you need? What are you waiting for? What else do you need to know? God is right here, right now, waiting to provide you whatever it is that you need. So if you'll just step out from where you are and come down and talk to him tonight. Maybe you need a fresh infusion. Maybe you need a healing for your body. If you need the Holy Ghost, come over here to the left. If you need something else in your life, come down the center aisle. If you want salvation, come over here to my right. There are people here that will pray for you and pray with you. Let's commit ourselves. I'm calling for a fresh commitment to the work of God, to the book of God, to the voice of God, to the Spirit of God. Let's lay everything aside and make up our mind that this is it for us. Right here, right now. Amen, amen. Praise God. Sing. Hallelujah. Reach up to him. Talk to him. God is dealing with you. Amen, amen. God's talking to you. There's nothing left outside of the church. Amen, amen. Call on his name. Touch him with your spirit and your might, your power. Yield to him and let him fill you. Let him anoint you. Let him bless you. Let him touch you. Come on. Get a renewing of the Holy Ghost. Get a fresh start. Get a new beginning in your life. Make a new commitment to you. Hallelujah. 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 Whatever it is that you're looking for, you found it. This is it. This is God's church. Not my church, not Pastor Bishop Grant's. This is God's church, and this is what you're looking for. Don't give up on him. This is where it is. Because when you go outside of these walls, there's nothing left to look for. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Reach up and touch him. Reach out to him. Let him know you're here. You're yielded. You're obedient. You want to follow him. You want to follow him more fully. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. That's right. I see people with their hands up all around the building. Lift them up. Ask him to touch you. He wants to touch you. He wants to deal with you. Thank God. Thank God for the church. Thank God for your power, Lord. Thank God for your ability to affect our lives and touch our feelings and our emotions and move us closer to you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, thank you, Lord. Come on, keep reaching. There's still something for you. Keep reaching to him. He is looking at you. He is reaching you. Because when you reach up to him, he immediately reaches down to you. Let him move upon you. Let him work in your life. Let him touch you with his spirit. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. That's it. Let's press our way into the kingdom of God. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. That's it. Let's press our way into the kingdom of God. Oh, hallelujah. Find someone to pray with. We love you, God. We love you, God. We love you, God. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
The more I find you.
Oh, God, your so good. Lord, you're so wonderful.